From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, we have a lot of information coming from our country, and we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Russia submits proposal on COVID-19 handling cooperation to Indonesia. Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said efforts for economic revival to focus on four areas. Now the news in details. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Ludmila J. Vorobieva in Jakarta on Wednesday expressed Russia's readiness to cooperate with Indonesia in a bid to overcome COVID-19. She explained that the Russian Direct Investment Fund has stated its readiness to cooperate with Indonesia in three directions. Ambassador Ludmila said that firstly, Russia is ready to cooperate in the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine if Russia has completed a clinical trial phase. Even Russia is also ready to provide a clinical trial facility for the vaccine in Indonesia. Moreover, she further said that Russia is also ready to produce some of the vaccine components needed domestically. She also remarked that the cooperation proposal has been submitted to the Indonesian government and Russia hopes to get a response sooner.
Russian Direct Investment Fund is ready to cooperate with Indonesia in three directions. First of all, it's of course the sale and distribution of the vaccine when all the clinical trials are completed. We are also ready to have clinical trials in Indonesia, because of course it will facilitate the registration of the vaccine in the country. And we're also ready to manufacture at least some of the components of the vaccine in Indonesia. So these are the proposals of the Russian Direct Investment Fund. And hopefully we will have the response from our Indonesian friends and partners.
Previously, spokespersons of Russian Foreign Minister Maria Zakharova in a press statement stated that the coronavirus has brought about the negative impact on economic growth globally. This virus is also believed to have affected daily lives of people. She also stated that the only way to effectively fight against this global challenge is through joint efforts of all international communities. Minister of Research and Technology Bambang Brojonegoro has said that efforts to revive the Indonesian economy and prevent a deeper contraction amid the COVID-19 pandemic will focus on four areas. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Bambang at an online seminar broadcast from Jakarta on Wednesday stated that the government wants to respond to various problems and at the same time it wants to prevent a deeper contraction in Indonesian economy. As a research and innovation community, the government must also have more focused steps. It is trying to define these steps into four focuses. The first is overcoming COVID-19 and the economic recovery itself. Managing Director of Development Policy and Partnerships at the World Bank, Marielka Pangestu, at an online discussion in Jakarta on Wednesday stated that the Indonesian government needs to carry out data synchronizations to accelerate the distribution of social assistance among the people. As reported by Antara News Agency, Mari said that the World Bank's recommendation is for Indonesia to have trusted and interoperated data with payment system. She also pointed out that countries that carried out data synchronization can distribute social assistance quickly and according to target, which in turn can ease the burden on the people amid the COVID-19 pandemic. She added that the lesson learned in distributing social assistance is the importance of data and digital presence of ID that links to the funding system. Indonesia already has a high covered ID system, but the problem is on the data. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Norway said on Wednesday that it will impose a 10-day quarantine on all people arriving from Germany and Liechtenstein from August 29 due to rising numbers of COVID-19 cases in those countries. As quoted by Reuters.com, the Norwegian Foreign Ministry said in a statement that similar restrictions will also be imposed on those coming from two additional regions in Sweden. To try to prevent a domestic resurgence of the coronavirus, Norway quarantines all travelers from countries with more than 20 confirmed new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 population during the past 2 weeks. European Union nations, Britain and European Union partners have agreed on a blueprint for a COVID-19 vaccination plan, emphasizing inoculation of at least 40% of their population, a step that may set back the World Health Organization's own vaccine blueprint. As quoted by Reuters.com, the European Union target for early vaccination is twice as high as the goal set by the WHO, which is aiming to buy vaccine initially for 20% of the world's most vulnerable people through a global procurement scheme. The European Union estimates that the share of its population in need of initial vaccination should the shot be doubled up, would be at least 40%, effectively reducing the availability of possible doses for less developed countries. There is so far no approved COVID-19 vaccine except one authorized in Russia before large-scale trials. The supply of the vaccine that might be successful is expected to be limited for a long period as production capacities are limited. Iran has agreed to give International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors access to two suspected former nuclear sites. As quoted by BBC.com, a joint statement said Iran was doing so in good faith to resolve outstanding issues related to nuclear safeguards. The agreement came during a visit to Tehran by the IAEA's Director General Rafael Grossi. The global watchdog has criticized Iran for not answering its questions about possible undeclared nuclear material and nuclear-related activities at the two locations and blocking inspections. It is not clear what inspector suspect might have happened at the sites, but it is thought the activities took place in the early 2000s, that is long before Iran struck a landmark deal with world powers that placed limits on its nuclear program in return for the lifting of sanctions. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju or Onwards Indonesia. Representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
Oh,
anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
Listener, here's today's commentary entitled Ultra Microbusiness Empowerment to Encourage Economic Growth. COVID-19 pandemic has caused the Indonesian economy to grow negatively by 5.23% in the second quarter of 2020. Indonesian economic growth is also predicted to have negative growth in 2020. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati projected that the economic growth in the third quarter will be around 0 to minus 2%, while for the whole 2020, the economic growth is predicted to be between minus 1.1 to 0.2%. If the projection came true, Indonesia is facing negative economic growth in two consecutive quarters. Therefore, Indonesian economy is in the technical recess category. Indonesian government and the people obviously do not want the recess. Many efforts were done to avoid the recess. Among many was empowering home business or the ultra-micro sector. Ultra-micro business is the bottom of micro, small, and medium enterprises. It is done by one person with a capital around 1 million to 2 million rupiahs. This group is also categorized as low-income people or poor. They can be small traders, street vendors, small shops, and other informal workers who depend on daily income. Total ultra-micro business and informal workers are quite massive, so the empowerment for them will skyrocket the national economic growth. Based on data from Statistics Indonesia or BPS for February 2020, the ultra-micro business and informal workers in Indonesia reached 70 million people, or 56.5% of the total Indonesian workforce. Government then targeted the ultra-micro sector contribution to national GDP to reach 61% in 2020. The government also took many measures to empower the ultra-micro businesses by giving 2.4 million rupees grant and social assistance. These government's movements were right, but they need accurate data. Recently, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani complained about the asynchronous data in government and non-governmental institutions and the ministries. She stated the government's difficulty in giving stimulus for micro, small, medium enterprises, including the ultra-micro, which is asynchronous data. Asynchronous data rendered policy execution ineffective. Therefore, it is obviously crucial for the central and regional governments to improve the data about the social and economic condition of the people, while at the same time realizing social assistance and the grants. And listener, that was the commentary.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on August 27, 1939, when the first jet plane was flown. Henkel 178 was the first plane in the world which flew with a turbojet. The flight was conducted by Henkel, German company led by director Ernst Henkel, who developed high-speed of flight technology. The first plane flew on August 27, 1939, which was flown by Erich Warsit. Previously, in 1936, a young engineer, Hans von Ohain, had obtained a patent for the use of a gas turbine as propulsion for jet aircraft. The next event is that in 1991, the independence of Moldova was declared. Republic of Moldova is a state which is located in between Romania and Ukraine in East Europe. In the period of the Emperor of Russia, this territory was known with the name Bessarabia. After the revolution in Russia in 1917, Democratic Republic of Moldova was proclaimed. Furthermore, the Republic united with Great Romania in 1918. On June 28, 1940, during World War II, Romania received an ultimatum from Soviet Union. Romania was forced to submit Bessarabia and North Bukovina to Soviet to avoid war. By Soviet, the territory was divided among Socialist Republic of Soviet Ukraine and Socialist Republic of Soviet Moldova. In 1991, Soviet Union broke and Moldova declared its independence on August 27, 1991. And the last event is that in 2008, the first time a candidate for President of the United States of America was black. August 27, 2008, the Democrat Party chose Barack Obama to run as a presidential candidate. The appointment made Obama the first black presidential candidate in the United States. Obama, who is of Kenyan descent, was accompanied by Vice Presidential Candidate Joe Biden in Denver. Obama ran as the Democratic Presidential Candidate against John McCain as the Presidential Candidate of the Party of Republic. Obama won by winning 52% of the vote from McCain, who got 45.7% of the vote. Barack Obama also became the first U.S. president of African descent. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Simpan ingin Welcome to the new normal. Now we are facing uncertainties, uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we got more information for you in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, anticipating land and forest fire earlier. The National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, takes precautions to prevent forest and land fires that usually occur in several provinces every year in coordination with local governments. Head of the BNPB Disaster Data Information and Communication Center, Raditya Jati, through a press release received in Jakarta Monday, August 24, said that BNPB prioritizes the involvement of all elements in Pentahelix, namely the government, academicians, business world, community, and mass media, with their respective roles to prevent forest and land fires. Raditya said that by involving Pentahelix elements, it is hoped that forest and land fires can be prevented from an early age during the COVID-19 pandemic, especially in fire-prone provinces. Efforts to prevent blackouts are considered to be more effective in avoiding wider impacts. To prevent forest and land fires, the BNPB encourages the development of knowledge, understanding and capacity of forest and land management and processing of forest and land products into added value. Raditya explained that the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Peat Restoration Agency have developed approaches to community empowerment. Apart from that, several technical steps also be taken. Some of the technical steps include monitoring the early warning system through a fire hazard rating system. From the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, monitoring hotspots from the National Institute of Aeronautics and Space, and monitoring the water level in the plot of land from Peat Restoration Agency, BRG. Until this time, 6 provinces have established emergency alert stages to prevent forest fires. The provinces are Riau, South Sumatra, Jambi, West Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, and South Kalimantan. Based on data from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, the impact area of forest and land fires in the 6 provinces as of Monday, August 24, is almost 20,000 hectares. Meanwhile, the area of forest and land affected by fires in 2019 throughout Indonesia reached more than 942,000 hectares, with details of around 270,000 hectares of peatland and around 672,000 hectares of mineral land. That was My Indonesia.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu?
I am Mahmud Erkılıç, Ambassador of Turkey to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between brotherly Turkey and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of both countries. Thank you.
You are still with us, a voice of Indonesia. Next one, we'll present you some information about our tourism and also our local wisdom while in this pandemic in which you cannot go to visit our countries. So make sure that you will listen the next one. The next one is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about traditional clothes of South Timor Tengah. Stay tuned. Considering that the COVID-19 virus pandemic is still spreading, the 75th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia on August 17 was held simply, solemnly, and applying health protocols. At the independence ceremony like in the previous years, President Joko Widodo wore traditional clothes because he wants to show Indonesia as a rich and diverse country. In the proclamation ceremony this year, President Joko Widodo wore the traditional clothes from South Timor Tengah Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. The President wore the traditional clothes with kaif berantai nunkolo motif. The motif has been modified from geometrical motif with batang tengah, which means water sources, and the jack edges symbolizing the hilly and meandering areas. While the red cloth motif symbolizes the courage of non-Kuala men, various accessories are completed the beauty of the woven fabric. This traditional costume is also completed with a betel nut bag slung on the side. In some regions in Indonesia, eating betel nut is a culture of unity and also symbolizes love and respect. The president also wore a headband called pilu, with Yiu Raja, symbolizing a crown, a sign of the king's greatness. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hello everybody, my name is Rakesh. I am from India, Chennai. I wish Indonesia 75th year celebrating Independence Day. My best wishes to Indonesia people and Voice of Indonesia team and my friends. Thank you very much. Dirgahayu Indonesia.
jari sang sejati dan juga suci.
Alright, more information from Indonesia is still coming up. The next one will be Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on Indonesian students win achievement at the 2020 Asia Pacific Informatics Olympiad. Listeners, a number of Indonesian students made another achievement by winning medals at the 13th Asia Pacific Informatics Olympiad, APIO, in 2020. As the host, the Indonesian team won 6 medals, namely 1 gold medal, 2 silver medals, and 3 bronze medals. The gold medal was won by Canisius Jakarta High School student Rama Arya Suta Pangestu. Meanwhile, 2 silver medals were won by senior high school student of Cita Hati Christian School Surabaya, Nicholas Patrick, and student of Semesta BBS Semarang, Pikatan Arya Brahmajati. In addition, 3 bronze medals were achieved by senior high school students of Cahaya Madani Banten Boarding School Banten, Muhammad Irham Lutfi Zen Chong School Maximiliano Utomo Wok and Sutomo, 1 senior high school Medan Edbert Giraldi Chang Dinata. The 13th Asia Pacific Informatics Olympiad 2020, participated in by 852 participants from 33 countries, of which 717 participants from 33 countries took part in the Olympiad 2020 contest. The participants from all countries work on questions online from their respective places. In this competition, each student participant had to complete 3 questions within 5 hours. The 3 questions were the screening results of 11 questions from the candidates which entered through question idea collection mechanism or call for tasks from Asia Pacific Informatics Community. Each question has a maximum value of 100 points. So the maximum value that can be achieved by the participants was 300 points. points. Besides being successful in making achievements, Indonesia was also successful as the host of the Informatics Olympics. The Ministry of Education and Culture, through the National Achievement Center in collaboration with the Indonesian Computer Olympiad Team Alumni Association, has held the 13th Asia Pacific Informatics Olympiad in 2020. The event, entitled Informatics for a Better Education and Life, was held from 14 to 21st August 2020. This year was the second chance for Indonesia to host APIO after previously hosting APIO in 2015. According to chairman of the APIO 2020 committee, Brian Marshall from the Alumni Association of the Indonesian Computer Olympiad Team, APIO 2020 will indirectly become a warm-up event to host the upcoming International Olympiad in Informatics in 2022. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
I am Tania Velasquez Lopez, Ambassador of Cuba to Indonesia. On the occasion of its 75th anniversary of the Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia, I would like to express my warm congratulations to the people of this sister nation and ratify the willingness to further expand our bilateral relations. Thank you.
Listener, we still got one more song for you, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present Sherina Munaf in a pop song entitled Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir. The song is included in the Sherina's album titled Gemini, which was released in 2009. The song Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir was one of leading songs in this album. This song describes someone who finds love and life and hopes the love becomes the first and the last one all his or her life. All songs in the Gemini album were composed by Sherina herself. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir by Sherina. Enjoy the song.
Sebelumnya tak ada yang mampu mengajarku untuk bertahan di kala sedih. Sebelumnya ku ikat hatiku hanya untuk aku seorang. Sekarang kau di sini, hilang rasanya. Semua bimbang tangis kesepian. Aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tak mengerti, akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu? Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Sebelumnya tak mudah bagiku tertawa sendiri di kehidupan yang kelam ini. Sebelumnya rasanya tak perlu membagi kisahku, tak ada yang mengerti. Sekarang kau di sini, aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tak mengerti, akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu? Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Bila suatu saat kau harus pergi, jangan paksa aku untuk cari yang lebih baik. Karena senyummu menyadarkanku, kaulah cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Wow, oh, oh, oh. Kau buat aku bertanya,
Kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tanpa berarti. Akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu? Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku. Kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau perlakukanku seperti seorang ratu, bunga coklat dan puisi, tapi itu hanya paksa. Ku saksikan bagai tak ada pilihan. Ku lihat seribu wajahmu. Kau bakar telingaku dengan berbagai suaramu. Akhirnya ku sadar kau seperti ditelan mimpi hijau.
Been almost an hour, we from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in this English program. You have listened to so many information and also good music from our country. Please do not hesitate to tell us what you think. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.